traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We will be joined by MAGA royalty in a little bit. The mother of Ashley Babbitt. Her name is Mickey Witkoff. And she'll be joining us along with someone else who's, I believe her husband is in jail, January 6th stuff. They've been persecuted, over-prosecuted, Ashley Babbitt killed, completely and totally unjustified. It is insane, insane what happened. And a confirmation that our culture is sick and corrupt, that the officer who shot her, who killed her, has been lauded as a hero and given a gold medal and promoted and is still on the Capitol force. It is sickening. But justice will prevail. Donald Trump has not forgotten about Ashley Babbitt. I have not. Her family has not. There's some other handful of people in the media and millions and millions and millions of people all across the country. And they've been praying for the Babbitt family. Mother, Mickey. So I look forward to talking to her in just a little bit. Sean Combs is still on the loose. We'll get back to him. But Lou Gossett Jr., I didn't realize he was born in Brooklyn. Lou Gossett Jr. Grew up in Brooklyn, went to NYU before he graduated from Abraham Lincoln High School on Ocean Parkway. And then, one day he injured himself in sports. Had extra time, was in a play. A guy was impressed, the drama teacher, you're pretty good at this. You should be in another play. And that's how it happened. He majored in drama at NYU. He minored in pharmacology, whatever they call it. He thought about owning a drugstore. But he was such a great actor that his career took off on Broadway. And look, to me, the role of a lifetime, and I think he got an Oscar for it, Officer and a Gentleman. He played the Marine drill sergeant perfectly. The only one who comes close is arguably Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Full Metal Jacket, who was actually a real drill sergeant, but I don't think he was as good as Lou Gossett Jr. There's this performance and the cinematography and everything about it. All right, Richard Gere is going through Officer Canada School, wants to be a pilot, but he's a little bit thuggish. You know, he's wheeling and dealing and doing things you shouldn't be doing. He was selling stuff to other cadets. He shouldn't be doing that. Got in trouble, got caught. And the DI, Gossett, is basically trying to torture him into quitting. And there's a really emotional conversation here. Lou Gossett Jr. is making Richard Gere do push-ups and pull-ups and all these kinds of things, trying to get him to quit. The visuals are great, but the dialogue and the audio is pretty amazing too. You won't be able to see Lou Gossett Jr.'s amazing step. Why don't I just shut up and why don't we listen to the clip? Okay, go ahead.
Now, why would a slick little hustler like you want to sign up for this kind of abuse anyway?
I want to fly jets, sir.
My grandmama wants to fly jets.
I want it to throw the kid.
We're not talking about flying here. We're talking about character.
I've changed. I've changed since I've been here.
Hell, you have.
I've changed, sir.
Oh, you just polished up your act a little bit. You just shined it up. Now tell me what I want to hear. I want your D.O.R.
No, sir.
I want your D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
Spell it.
D.O.R. I ain't gonna quit.
Yeah, then you can be free and you and your daddy can get drunk and go hog chasing again, huh?
No, sir.
D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
All right, then you can forget it. You're out!
Don't you do it! Don't you! I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go! I got nothing else.
Ooh, that was a good scene. That was a good scene. I know the next line. All right, Mayo, on your feet. And at that point, you know he's going to make it. And I saw that when I was maybe 11 years old, 12 years old. It still gives me chills. And back then, when we went to movies where people talked, where you watched adults on TV, on the big screen, whatever, exchange ideas, where we didn't have to be constantly, you know, titillated by explosions and machines and transformers and all this crap that they make, so that 17-year-old kids who live in Santa Monica or Taipei, Taiwan, are thrilled and amused and want to go out and buy a bunch of stuff. Back when we had the cinema. When the hell is the last time anybody went to the movie theater? I went to I saw Top Gun, which was okay. I saw Oppenheimer, which was totally overrated. I see basically a movie once every 2 years. I used to go all the time. I loved it. And now, anyway, the movie theaters aren't what they used to be. Everybody's afraid of bed bugs. And the movies basically stink. The movies stink. And but nothing like Officer and a Gentleman, which I rewatched a couple of years ago. Lou Gossett Jr., dead at the age of 87. You know, I never met the guy, but I always thought that must be a good guy. There was something really warm and genuine about him. For all I know, he was a radical maniac jerk, but I don't know. He was married 3 times, has 2 sons, and how did he die? Well, at 87, you know, you die I don't know. Should look it up. Rest in peace, Lou Gossett Jr. All right, back to the business at hand. Eric Adams was being even stupider than normal when he was talking about technology and outer space. Curtis was talking about this not too long ago. Go ahead with this, please.
This is the Sputnik moment. When President Kennedy said we were going to put a man on the moon and everyone responded. But today we said we're going to bring technology that can identify guns and other dangerous weapons.
It's metal detectors. Metal detectors. They've been around, I think, since we invented metal. I mean, they've been around for like 50 years, all right? A Sputnik moment. This guy, he was also tickled by that silly robot. See, when he says he's a gadget guy, he's actually telling you the truth. But here's the thing. He wasn't a cop. He was a computer programmer in the police department. He was in technology. He messed around with computers, data entry. He's basically a clerk. Hey, we need clerks. But it's funny when Eric talks about his days as a cop, he holds up that bulletproof vest. You know? For 16 years, I stood on this corner wearing this thing. I saved the people. Like, I'm a hero. Just ask me. Well, I know a few things about Eric that the fake news... They can't allow themselves to go there for certain reasons. All right, let me, the other thing is, we'll skip that for now. I would like to hear the mainstream media's take on the great big Biden, Obama, Bill Clinton orgy last night at Radio City Music Hall. Cut 9.
President Biden in New York with 2 high-powered friends, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, for a star-studded campaign event. For $100,000, you can take a picture with the current and former presidents. CBS's Caitlin Huey-Burns reports on what could be the biggest fundraiser in presidential campaign history.
In New York City, a parade of presidents. Headlining an event at Radio City Music Hall that raked in $25 million for Joe Biden's reelection campaign. It's a record for a political fundraiser, bolstering Biden's significant cash advantage, even as he lags behind Donald Trump in the polls.
Kamala, I desperately need your help because, look, there's only about 6 or 7 states you're going to determine the outcome of this election.
The Biden campaign has $71 million in the bank compared to the Trump campaign's nearly $34 million. Trump's legal troubles have been draining resources. A super PAC supporting him spent $8.5 million on legal fees so far this year, including $5.5 million last month.
A crooked judge shouldn't say, we're going to have you post a bond and take all of that money that I could be spending on a campaign.
Trump also tried to cash in on the Democrats' fundraising event, asking for donations to help defeat the Biden-Obama-Clinton cartel.
It's interesting they use that word, Trump chose to cash in. Like, it's a little bit pejorative, right, in its own way. Look at him. He's trying to cash in on all this to use it for political benefit. How dare he do something like that? Well, I think yesterday was a big turnoff to voters across the board. Now, there was something excessive about the Radio City thing. And at one point, they put on sunglasses like, ain't we cool? Look at how cool we are. Now, people are suffering right now in the country. We have no border. That crazy thing with the ship freaked people out. Went to that Chinese restaurant the other day. $35 for lunch. Inflation is out of control. People are not digging this. I think this could go down. It's a major backfire. A major backfire on them. We already know the cases are backfiring left and right. Oh, and here's this. You know what the biggest status symbol right now in Washington, D.C. is and beyond? A threat. If you get a threat, if somebody threatens you online, oh, boy, you can go around bragging about that. Look, I've been targeted by Trump's MAGA movement. I've been threatened. Now, what they don't tell you is these aren't threats. They aren't actually threats. This is people online criticizing you. This is people online making fun of you. This is people engaging in constitutionally protected free speech. Threatening somebody, a judge, a person, anybody, is against the law. If you threaten somebody with bodily violence or death, you can be arrested for that. And I'm fine with that. But if I say you're a rotten judge and this is corrupt, well, that's true. And number two, even if you disagree with me, that's constitutionally protected free speech. But they're trying to conflate the two, that the criticism that can and should be rampant in America, especially in times like this, that somehow, and if the criticism stems from the persecution of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump still says that the election of 2020, he believes, was rigged. If we start talking about the 2020 election, that could lead to threats. And democracy could die if people protest and all that nonsense. Anyway, this is a judge who's in the middle of it all. He's on the fake news last night, and they give him an opportunity, an invitation to say, tell us about how you're threatened. All right. But notice we didn't hear about anybody being arrested because they're fooling us. It's deceitful. Hit me with that mean girl, Caitlin Collins, the robot from CNN at 9 p.m. talking to judge somebody.
You've been on the receiving end of more threats since you've had the January 6th defendants in your court.
Yes, I've had more threats than what used to be the case. Yes, I have received a greater number of threats as a result of that incident, and the fact that cases arising out of that incident have appeared before me. I mean, it was rare. I've been a judge for over 40 years, and this is a new phenomenon. I'm not saying that it didn't happen before, but it was very rare that I would ever receive any type of a threat, regardless of what type of cases I was handling. And unfortunately, that is no longer the case. I know the Marshals Service has seen a significant increase in the number of threats against judges. And I think, obviously, that's very, very, very concerning.
You know, it's rare that we get to hear from a sitting federal judge. But obviously, this is a gravely important issue. I wonder what made you speak out tonight and speak publicly.
Well, I am concerned because, like I say, we have had judges who've lost their lives or family members have lost their lives as a result of individuals who have been litigants in their courtroom.
Stop for a second. Yes, we have. And we've always had. And that is a terrible thing. And usually they are litigants and also crazy people. Like the guy who shot the judge in New Jersey. A crazy person. The federal marshals have been around for a long time. They're trying to say that criticism, what they're actually saying without saying it, it's criticism of judges that somehow should be illegal. That's not constitutionally protected free speech. We are allowed to do that. They're conflating criticism with threats. And it's interesting. Are they ever going to specify what kind of threat? Just, I have been threatened. I got a whole list of Democrats bragging about how they've been threatened. But, well, when, where, how, who was arrested? Now, wrap up with this judge. I didn't realize this is still a guy on the court right now. And he goes on the fake news, CNN. Talk about fakery. Keep going.
I think it's important in order to preserve our democracy that we maintain the rule of law. And the rule of law can only be maintained if we have independent judicial officers who are able to do their job and ensure that the laws are in fact enforced and that the laws are applied equally to everybody who appears in our courthouse.
Hey, no kidding, and genius.
It's important that as judges we speak out and say things in reference to things that conceivably are going to impact on the process, because if we don't have a viable court system that's able to function efficiently.
All right, shut the hell up. Shut the hell freaking up. I know what he's doing. People are not he's talking about regular speech. Threats have always been against the law. It's a sneaky little thing. Hey, I wonder where you were when Chuck Schumer said that all hell is going to break loose if Kavanaugh doesn't rule the right way on abortion. Remember that? I do. He broke the law. And a mob of people showed up, not on your lawn, Judge, not on some Democrat judge's lawn, Judge, but on Kavanaugh, him. And they wanted him to rule a certain way on abortion. They scared the hell out of him and his family. And a guy showed up with a bag of weapons, knives and guns. How about that one? When I come back, much more, including Schumer's violation of the federal law. And Ashley Babbitt's mom. Be right back.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Folks, I am so excited and honored to be joined by what I call, I hope you don't mind, Mickey, MAGA royalty in some ways. Mickey Wittoff is the mother of Ashley Babbitt. Welcome, Mickey.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Nicole Reffitt. Nicole, your husband is in jail right now for January 6th offenses. My understanding is he didn't hurt anybody and he didn't break anything.
Correct. 7.5 years.
This is not America. But I got to tell you, I'm thrilled to meet you both. Put that a little bit closer to you, if you don't mind. Yeah. And then thank you, Mickey. How are your spirits day to day? You know, you lost a daughter who was murdered. You have a husband in prison. But you strike me, quite frankly, you know, you're positive. I know you got a lot of sadness too, but how are you feeling day to day?
Well, I stay steady angry, but I have positive forces around me. And, you know, I know that half of this country loves Ashley. I would say maybe even more than half this country loves Ashley. And they pray for us daily. And I can feel that through the American people. And I just refuse to let this country throw my daughter away like a disposable human being. So
it won't happen. Much more when we come back, Mickey. Thank you. Thank you very much, Nicole.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, we're back with two amazing Americans. I'm so grateful and honored to meet you both. Mickey Whithoft, who lost her daughter, Ashley Babbitt, on January 6th. We all know how. We all know that it was a horrific crime, what happened to her. And I am confident that justice will ultimately be done. We're also joined by Nicole Reffitt. Her husband is in prison, wrongfully imprisoned, I believe, for January 6th minor offenses, if you can even call them offenses. Welcome again, ladies. How do you spend your time, Mickey, day in and day out? You talked about the steady anger, but just how do you spend your time?
Well, we plot out a schedule the night before, and we either go to the court hearings for January 6th defendants, or if there's a particular congressional hearing coming up, we go to those. So, and then we hold our vigil every night from 7 to 9:30. Well, 7:30. We are in our winter hours, but Easter we're going back to 7. So we spend our night at the vigil, and at 9 o'clock we sing the national anthem with the Patriots inside the D.C. jail.
What is the vigil? Is outside the jail a vigil? Tell us about the vigil.
Well, we've been there for 604 nights, and we'll be, as after we're done here, we'll head back to D.C. And we take phone calls from the prisoners. We pray. We sing the national anthem, and we just, you know, we're there on the corner, rain, snow, or sunshine. And, you know, we just, it's a moment of fellowship, a moment of solidarity. And like I said, we've been there for 604 nights, and we are just blessed to have a really strong group of people that are there with us every night. Nicole and I and our other partner in DC. And so, you know, that's what we do.
Beautiful. And Nicole, where is your husband right now?
He's in Oklahoma right now.
In prison?
Yes, he is.
Is it medium, maximum?
He's in a low because, like I said, he's not charged with an assault, nor did he enter the building.
So what's he doing in prison? What do they say?
Well, it's that obstruction of an official proceeding, the 15-12C2 that President Trump is charged with also in his case for January 6th in D.C.
Now, my understanding also is that law was invented basically for financial crimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. It came about because of Enron.
So he was there. He wasn't in the Capitol. So how do they make a case against him with a straight face? How do they obstruct anything?
Well, unfortunately, it was our 18-year-old son that tipped the FBI off about my husband going to January 6th. And then on January 6th, the FBI met with my 18-year-old. And from that moment on, Jackson recorded us, his father, in the home. They used his hyperbole and his bragging and what have you from the day against him in court. And it is the obstruction of an official proceeding that got him his time. That has a wait of 20 years.
You know, people obstruct official proceedings all the time. You hear them stand up in the hearing or whatever. I mean, it's like no big deal. You get a parking ticket for that. If that, forgive me, it's family business, but I am curious. Are you and your son talking?
You know, it's been a tough road because, for obvious reasons, yes, we do have contact. It's been a struggle. You know, my family's not singular when it comes to, their lives being destroyed because of January 6th. But, the personal aspect of it has been, much harder, to wrap my brain around.
It is my hope and prayer, and you know what? In a weird way, your son arguably is a victim because inundated with messages about how horrible January 6th was and a threat to democracy. You know, this is how communist countries work. They try to rip families apart. And that one day, he will beg for your forgiveness and your husband's, but I know you won't stop loving him, and I hope that every, you know, peace prevails in the family. And I'm sorry. That's gotta be tough. But I blame, quite frankly, the FBI. The other day, the FBI went to somebody's house who posted F Joe Biden or Let's Go Brandon on Facebook. Sorry to bring you back, Mickey, to January. How did you find out that Ashley had been shot?
I was at work and my daughter-in-law called me and told me that Ashley had been hurt. And then, it's kind of, You know, I called Aaron.
Her husband.
Yeah. And he was in the process of trying to get us to D.C. And then one of my sons came and told me that Ashley had died. And then it's just kind of very fuzzy. It's very fuzzy from there because your whole world stops. And the only thing you can hear is your own heartbeat in your ears. And you just keep telling yourself that this is not what happened. To this day, I get up and tell myself that it's got to be a bad dream, you know. But it's not. And I just think it is so important to make her sacrifice count for something because, you know, this government wants to treat my daughter like she was a traitor and a disposable human being. And I know myself, Ashley Babbitt loved this country. She's an American patriot. She went there that day to redress her grievances and had every right as an American citizen to be there. I would like to suggest that Michael Byrd is an American citizen that should not have been there that day because he had prior excessive use of force issues, was a sloppy cop, and he's the one that should not have been there to murder my daughter that day. But American citizens absolutely had a right to be there that day. And, you know, I appreciate everybody that participated in that day with her. I'm proud to be Ashley's mother, and I just hope that when everything is said and done that America will realize Ashley Babbitt was an American patriot.
I know in my heart that day is going to come. I just know it. I know it. Can I ask you something? It's a photograph, very interesting photograph. Ashley, your daughter, when she was on active duty overseas in the desert, standing with a bunch of soldiers, and she has a sign that says Merry Christmas, and she's standing next to a four-star general by the name of John Abizade, who was the CENTCOM commander, spoke Arabic, as big a figure in the American military as they come. That's quite a moment. That's quite a picture. Was that just, a general visiting the troops, or is there something more significant about that picture?
Well, he had coined Ashley that day, and I don't know if everybody is aware of what coining means. It was a recognition of exemplary behavior. So he did. He coined Ashley for her, a Christmas spirit, for being, you know, a positive force that day. So he did. He took time out of his day to acknowledge Ashley and her, you know, American spirit, her Christmas spirit, her just enthusiasm. Ashley was an enthusiastic person. She was high energy, high spirited, always, always just love life. And I, you know, sometimes that makes me sad and sometimes it makes me comforted that she did squeeze so many things into her 35 years. She was a very, accomplished person, you know, and I say that she was the quintessential American female. She was independent, strong. You know, she not only did she serve in the United States Air Force and was deployed several times, she came home to be, you know, a small business owner and just a stellar citizen. You know, I miss her, and I think that, you know, the things that some people say about her, I would say that she fought for their right to say those things. So they're welcome. You know, everybody that wants to stand on the other side of the road and say ugly things about her, they can thank her and people like her for their right to say those things. And not just Ashley, but every person that's ever put on a uniform for this country. You know, we owe them a debt of gratitude. And we need to understand as American citizens that we have a responsibility, because with great privilege comes responsibility. And you have a responsibility as an American citizen to be an American citizen.
Yeah.
It's not a free ride. You need to stand up and do something. And everything can't be your fight, but something can. So pick something and do something.
I love it. I love it. Nicole, your husband, how is he doing in jail day to day? Like, how are his spirits? What is life like for him?
Well, guy has no criminal history, so this has been a whole new ride for us. But he is an amazing inspiration. He feels like if this is what the government is doing, because he did take him to task. You know, he did take him to a jury trial. He does not believe what he did that day was wrong. He wanted to have his voice heard. Being a dissident is not against the law. And he feels like it's his duty. You know, that if this is what they're doing to him, it's his duty to serve his time. And, you know, through so many Jan 6ers being incarcerated, there's been so many things brought to light of things that we had no idea about. The broken system that is the judiciary.
Right.
You know, the broken system that is the BOP. We had no idea that these things were going on, and we've been very activated in, especially things dealing with the BOP. You know, this
Bureau
is something.
Bureau of Prisons, right?
That's exactly right. We just had no idea that that system was just inherently broken. And,
What's the problem there? The big problem?
Well, you know, the biggest problem I believe is leadership there. lack of pay for, you know, the guards and everything. They don't have enough people working. You have 160,000 people detained and you have, you know, just 26,000 people guarding them. They've had 8 Bureau of Prison leaders in 11 years. There's no significant change that's going to happen with a system like that. It's just a money-making system, hand over fist. So much of it is privately owned, third-partied out. I can see where people from underserved communities and people that speak a different language can lose their people there.
You know, that's interesting. I kind of wanted to ask you, like, have you made new allies? Like, you know, let's face it, MAGA, you lean conservative, right? Nope. That's fine. But that perhaps you're finding allies on the other side of the spectrum, or I hate the saying, but people who don't look like you, right, who have gone through injustice and interesting, unpredicted alliances are happening. Is that happening?
Well, actually, you know, somewhat. I mean, not our political figures.
Yeah.
But some of our neighbors, you know, I mean, we have actually, you can only win the hearts and minds of people one person at a time. And I would say that, you know, we have made it clear to some people that we are not the racist, biased people that the media wants to paint us to be. You know, we have so many people that are, we have a huge support from the Chinese American people. But, you know, I would say in particular, I'm thinking about a lady in our neighborhood that is very, very liberal and very DC. She's just very DC. And she spends a lot of time with us. She has shadowed us in the committee hearings, in the courtroom, at CPAC. And I think that she has, maybe we've swayed her opinion somewhat, and she's a documentarian, so maybe she will be able to sway other people's opinions or just show us in our true light. That's really all we need, because I'm not a racist. I'm not even really maybe a true conservative.
I hear you on that. I mean, like, it's funny. I'm MAGA, but I don't know if I'm purely conservative.
Exactly.
And one day I think Donald Trump's message, MAGA, what he would could really unite 50 states. When I saw him declare, I thought this is a message that could work for 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. By the way, Chinese Americans, my wife actually mentioned this. You're not supposed to say this, but we have lots of Asian friends, and she believes that Asian Americans have a closer experience with communism than your everyday American. They know it. They have felt it. They've seen it. And they can feel it happening here. They can see the direction it's going. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, you're seeing that kind of friendship and alliance. Wow. What haven't I asked? I feel like there's a question I should ask that I haven't asked. How can we help? Is there anything I can do, our listeners can do, Nicole, if we want to, and Mickey, is there anything we can do for people who have been wrongly imprisoned? And for you, Mickey, I understand Aaron, and you probably are part of this lawsuit, suing through the Judicial Watch, the federal government. It's an awfully hard thing to do, but your case is rock solid. How can we help?
Well, you know, you can support the men and women of January 6th. We have a website, forashley.com. You can tune in.
Forashley.com.
The number 4, ASHLI.com. You can tune into our nightly vigils. There are also links on that website that if you want to write the prisoners, you can write them. If you want to donate to their commissary, you can donate to their commissary. If you want to donate to their families and help them with their individual situations, because a lot of these Gen 6 defendants have, the breadwinners have been arrested. And so we have people with children that are really struggling with things like rent and electric and, you know, school shoes and school clothing. And, we've had a lot of organizations step up and take care of Christmas for these families, but their day to day struggle is real. And everybody's story is so individual, but we do have a link to Patriot Mail Project on forashley.com where you can find a little bit out about each one of these people. Maybe, and also Adopt a Jan Sixer is a link on our page where, and you don't have to fully assume responsibility for your J6er. You can just like, you know, commit to a $5 or $10 donation every month. And it helps them in such a big way. Because there is power in numbers, and we say on Freedom Corner, we the people, be the people. It is absolutely our obligation to stick up for American people that stood up for us and stood in the gap. So if you're in a position to be able to help them financially, there's links on our on our website. And if you're not, then realize how uplifting it is for them to get a letter or a card in the mail. Well, maybe not a card, because they can get cards in the DC jail. That we have rules on our website too. It will explain this. Yeah. But a lot of times in the Bureau of Prisons, you can't send in a card. You can only send on a plain letter or on a plain paper. And,
sure.
And, you know, our people get lost in there. So, and if you're going to write these men, maybe you start at the bottom alphabetically, because, you know, they are listed alphabetically and everybody starts at the top. So don't forget our poor people in the middle or on the bottom of the list. So.
Boy, you know this stuff inside and out. This For Ashley sounds like an amazing website. ForAshley.com, for the number, ASHLI.com. What is your line of work? You are working on January 6th. What do you do? Your job on January 6th. What do you do?
I was working in childcare.
In childcare. And how about you, Nicole?
I was a stay-at-home mom.
Well, God has brought you to this moment. I think you're both being used to your maximum potential, and there's a lot more that you can do and give. Look, he works in mysterious ways, you know? He does. All right. Now I'm saying goofy stuff, and I don't know. We should probably say goodbye. Actually, we got to go to a commercial. So, Mickey, it's such a privilege.
Thank you.
To get to know you a little bit. Mickey Whithoff and Nicole Reffitt, thank you. Well, I'm all over this, forashley.com. Forashley.com. It sounds like a tremendous resource in every way. What happened to you guys should not have happened, obviously. Millions of us know it. Millions, and I think millions more will know it. So,
and God does work in mysterious ways. I don't think that's goofy at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Very, very much. We'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Ah, well, that was wonderful. What an opportunity for me and for us to listen to Nicole and Mickey. And to be continued, for sure. All right. Got a split in a moment. Tom in Wantagh, hello.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? I love your show. By the way, so my kid is on the job in the 105. They were forbidden yesterday from standing behind President Trump when he gave his speech. That's why you only saw Nassau County cops standing behind President Trump. This is what you have leading the city and the job. I'm a retired cop, and I got a great story about your old man. He was a really good guy. We were at the Washington Heights riots, and there's bricks coming off buildings, flaming logs, all kinds of stuff they're throwing. And I see this guy in a Jeep running down the street. He's in a Jeep with blacked out windows. And I'm like, who is this crazy SOB? And the pole window goes down, and your old man is sitting there. He was the first step at the time. He's got an MP5 sitting on the seat next to him, and he's got a cigar chomped in his mouth. Now, I was in the Corps. He looks at my nameplate, and he gives me the wink, and he's like, how you guys doing? I'm like, yeah, we're doing great. Good to see you, boss. And he's like, hold it down. I was like, this guy's got big, hairy ones. You know, your father was a great commissioner, and he was great as the first step.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. I'm so proud of him, and okay. Blessed that he's my dad. Thank you. Great call. Thank you, sir. Carmine, hello.
Greg, you helped me so much yesterday. It made me think of Zacchaeus, the short in stature Haiti tax collector. All he had to do was see Jesus. He climbed the tree to see Jesus, and he willingly and voluntarily gave back up to four times of what he stole and half of his fortune, which was according to the Mosaic law of the Old Testament. He just saw Jesus. You didn't like the word convicted. You know what? God reconciled us. Do you like that better?
Yes.
All right, so that's what Christ did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. And the thief turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come onto the kingdom, into your kingdom. And that is all we could ask for. Please, I'm a sinner. Remember me. And he purchased our salvation. It's not about Easter eggs. It's not about chocolate. It's about reconciling back to Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
We love it, Carmine. We love it. Thank you for your mentorship and help and me on this journey of Christianity. Thank you so much, my brother. And we can still have a jelly bean or two on Easter. I got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old who are looking forward. Barbara, hello.
Hi, Greg. What a show. What an amazing show. I always learn so much. And hearing these women talk just moved my heart, and I'm so glad that you gave them voice. No one else does these things. Thank you so much. today being Good Friday reminded me of something that I heard about 10 years ago that is more true now than it was then.
Awesome. Please say it. We're almost out of time. Go for it.
Okay. The memory of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem has faded. The love affair with Jesus, his gospel, and his church is over. Elite sectors of the cultures of Europe and North America no longer welcome his message. Away with him, they shout. Give us Barabbas. And that's where we are now, and that's why we're in the mess we are now.
Well, we ain't giving up, are we? Hey, Diego, we're still on the air, right? We ain't giving up, all right? Barabbas, 5 seconds. Have a great Easter. It's Good Friday. Sandra, I apologize. To be continued.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.